Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We'll read the scripture together and we'll start the sermon. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 21 through 40. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Thank you, Father, for these words. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today through your word? We worship you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. There's a lot in today's text. But one of the things we're going to see is that there's something in life that we, most of us, are not really good at. And it is waiting. We're really not good waiters. Whether you go to an amusement park, or whether you go to the airport, or whether you're just trying to drive into New York City, sometimes you are just stuck. You're stuck. And even when it comes to the promises of God, we read the Bible, there are some promises there for all of us. And the time has not come. The time has not come. As a family, we did something for the first time. We drive down to Florida a lot. And this past 2 days ago, we were driving back from Florida, and for the first time, we drove straight through. Yeah. I think it was 20 hours. We stayed in the car for 20 hours together, and we all survived. Yeah. But it brought back memories, because we used to go on long-distance trips a lot. And, you know, the words that every parent has heard when you go on a long-distance trip is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And sometimes when you analyze your prayers to God, in a lot of ways, we're just like donkey here, right? We're asking God, when? When are you going to reveal? When are you going to show yourself to us? When will we see your promise come true, God, in our own lives? And when you think that way, life is just very slow. It goes in a very slow pace. But we live in a generation where we don't like to wait. So even waiting in line at an amusement park, it changed a lot. In the old days, you would just wait there and you'd have to watch a TV screen, but now everybody has their own screens with them. So they're just all watching the screen. And so even that, we're not really good at waiting. And so we try to fill that time with something else. But I read an article the other day and it talked about how actually being bored and waiting is really good for you. Because it forces you to think about the things you usually don't. Like, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And really, the only time you're going to think about that is when you are forced to wait. So waiting is a good thing. And we're going to see how there are two people here, but we're going to see one person, actually, they waited their whole life. The person waited his whole life for God's promise to be fulfilled. And we see how that works out at the end. So if you're struggling with waiting, then today's text is for you. So let's go to our text today. So on Christmas Eve, we saw that we talked about the birth of Jesus. And now it's the eighth day, on the eighth day. It says here, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus. Now this parallels John the Baptist's story from the previous chapter, right? When John the Baptist was born, same thing. On the eighth day, he was to be circumcised. On the eighth day, that's when they named the child. And you remember there was a big debate. What should the names be? Should it be Zacharias or should it be this or that? And they said, no, it needs to be John because God told them it's going to be John. Same thing here. This was a custom that we could see that took place. So on the eighth day, when Jesus was 8 days old, they circumcised him, and then he was named Jesus. The name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Okay, so this name, Jesus, was given before he was conceived. And that's an interesting name, isn't it? What does Jesus mean? It means God saves, Yahweh saves. He could have had given any name. There are names of God that we read through the Bible. One of the things I appreciate about Kyle's prayers is he always, I don't know if you notice this, but when he does a call to worship, he always picks a name of God and he kind of talks about that. Do you guys notice that? If you haven't, pay attention, because every word that he speaks up here is very deliberate. He plans a lot for our services. So he introduces a name of God and then he kind of explains that. And I really appreciate that about Kyle. So naming Jesus, God could have picked any name, but the name that God picked was what? Jesus. Yahweh saves. God saves. Jehovah saves. That's the meaning of his name. That name was given to him before he was conceived, it says. So you see how God's plan was already in place, was always in place. So his plan is already in place. So you and I don't have to worry about, is God going to come through with his plan? And this is very helpful when we're waiting. When we're waiting for results, when we're waiting for God to show up, when we're waiting for his promises to become true, here's one thing you and I don't have to worry about. Is it going to happen or not? It is going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
God's promises are yes and amen. And now it's interesting. Another interesting point is, why did Jesus have to be circumcised? What's this whole circumcision thing? What does it mean? Well, it's a sign of God, right? It's a covenant promise. If you look at Genesis 17:12, it's a sign, that a covenant promise that he gave to Abraham. And in the book of Romans in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about it's one of the signs of the righteousness by faith. And it's a physical act, right, of cutting off. Circumcision is cutting off. So it's a sign that says, when you're circumcised, you are cutting off. You've been cut off from the world. You've been set apart. So that's one thing that circumcision shows. But the other thing, too, is it's cutting off of the sin. So there's a double meaning behind it, this cutting off. And it's something that God commanded Abraham and his descendants to do. As a matter of fact, Moses did not do that, and God almost kills Moses in Exodus 4. That's how serious this covenant sign is. So why Jesus? Because Jesus was born without sin, right? Jesus was born without sin. So why did Jesus have to be circumcised? Well, Scripture talks about Jesus was born under the law. So everything that was required for Israel to follow, Jesus had to follow 100%. And we see that here in Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul talks about that as well. So our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, he was born under the law. And notice here, I've highlighted the law of Moses. So everything, the purification rites required by the law of Moses, as it is written in the law of the Lord, and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. So Jesus is only 8 days old, and look, he's already fulfilled the law of Moses completely. That's who our Redeemer is. That's who our Jesus is. And so in this text, we tend to miss out on this, but what Luke is really saying here is that Jesus followed the law perfectly, even when he was only 8 days old. Even when things were somewhat out of his control as an 8-day-old baby. And that's who our Christ is. That's who Jesus is. The other thing we note here, and we talked about this earlier, is that he was born in a humble home, in a very poor home. It says here in verse 24 that they offered doves or two pigeons. So that's, usually it's a lamb that is required to be offered. But if you can't afford a lamb, then you would offer a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And Mary and Joseph had offered that. So we already know that Jesus was born in a poor family. He gave up everything. Though he was rich, he became poor, so that you and I could share in his riches. And so whether it's Genesis 17:12 with the circumcision, or Exodus 13:2, or Leviticus 12:8, these are all being followed here in the circumcision of Jesus, and also when it was time 40 days after the purification rites required by the law of Moses. That's who our Jesus is. And now we're introduced to a man named Simeon. It says here that Simeon was righteous and devout. and he was waiting. I highlighted that word. He was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. When we're reading through the Gospel of Luke, just notice how many times he refers to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it says here that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So here's a promise that he's heard. You will not die before you see Christ. Now that's an interesting promise, wouldn't you say? When I'm younger, when you're young, you would probably want that day to come much later, because you want to live life to the fullest. But then as you're approaching your age to be with the Lord, now what is Simeon thinking? We don't know how old he is, but based on his reaction, he was probably later. It's probably later in his life when this is happening. But he heard this promise that he's going to stay alive until he sees the Christ. How do you live life? How do you wait for that day? I believe Simeon is giving a good example on how to wait upon the Lord. How do you wait? What does waiting well look like? Well, waiting well means you don't take matters in your own hand. You don't see him saying, I'm ready to be with the Lord. So just anyone you see goes, oh, this is the Christ. He wasn't doing that. But he had confidence. So he's waiting in confidence, knowing that God is gonna show up. God is gonna fulfill his promises. So how do we wait? We need to wait in confidence. That means knowing the promises of God and also knowing that God will fulfill his promises. Knowing how it ends is how it helps you to wait well. When you're going on a long distance trip, you know you're going to get there. So you wait, and you wait with confidence. You don't take matters in your own hands. I see so many people failing in that. We can't even wait 2 days. But we need to wait well. Wait well. When life doesn't work out, how long do we have to wait? I don't know, but let's wait well. Let's wait in confidence. We're running out of space in this building. How much longer do we have to be in this building? I don't know, but let's wait well. What does that mean? You make the most out of it. You cut your complaining to zero, right? We're not complaining, are we? Every time you bang your head downstairs. Praise God for that. Amen? It's always the same person who hits the head too. You notice that? Bang, bang. But we praise God for that. We don't complain. When you can't find parking when you come here, I was told that on Christmas Eve, some people drove around a few times and went home because they couldn't find parking. Right? That's reality here today in our location. But don't go home. Just drive a little further. Get here a little earlier. I promise you, if you're here an hour before worship, plenty of parking. It's those who want to come right on time. That's when you're struggling. But waiting well. God will provide. Amen? God is going to provide for us. So waiting well means we come here on time and we worship God. Make room for people. That's something else we need to do. Are we making room for people? Let's wait well. Let's wait in confidence, because our God will supply all our needs. It says here in verse 27, he was moved by the Spirit. So the Spirit is really working in his life. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. So we don't know if this is something that Simeon did every day of his life. Let me go to the temple courts. I may be seeing the Lord's Messiah today. We don't know if he did that or not, but he was moved by the Spirit. So the Spirit prompted him to go into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. This was the moment he's been waiting for his whole life. This was his life purpose. And the day was the day when Mary and Joseph walked in to the temple courts, and he was praising God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Lord God, I was faithful in my life. Can we say that to God? That's what God wants us. That's how he wants us to live. We need to be faithful in the moment. My prayer is that all of us could say this. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Notice, the salvation that he saw was in a child, in a baby. His eyes have seen your salvation through Jesus Christ, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. What prophetic words. Some would say this was the purpose of Simeon's life, was to see Jesus and to say these words. What are you waiting for? What is your purpose? Let's continue here. Verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. They're still trying to figure this whole thing out. And they're hearing all these prophetic words about their child. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And isn't that Christ? And to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Hot or cold, right? That's Christ. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. You don't have to wonder what Simeon is talking about here when he's talking to Mary about this. Witnessing her son dying on the cross. When they pierced his side, that pierced her soul too. So this was a prophetic word that was given to Mary. And we saw earlier that Mary was treasuring all these words in her hearts. So this is probably something that she was thinking about over and over again. So it's interesting here too is when we look at Joseph and Mary, notice how they're obeying the law. And that's another way we wait through obeying God's word. That's how you wait well as well. So if you're having a hard time waiting for something, my challenge to you is wait through obedience. Read through God's law. Read through the word of God. And obey God's word. And that's how you wait well. Because if you're not obeying God's word, if you're just following your fleshly desires, you are going to fail. And you are going to make decisions. You're going to do things that you're going to regret. But if you wait through obedience, obeying God's word, then you'll be able to praise God the same way Simeon praised God when he saw Jesus. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And we're also introduced to a prophetess, Anna. She also lived a very interesting life here. It says here, and it's funny because I guess scripture doesn't really offend people. It says she was very old. Not she was mature in age, or she was full of wisdom, have a lot of experience. They just go right to the point. She was very old. Some cultures are like that, right? They see something, they just say it as it is, you know. So in our culture, you know, when someone's gaining weight, you don't say, "Oh, you're big." You know, they'll subtly say something like, "Oh, you know, you look different today." Or they'll be indirect, like, "Hey, you want to go to the gym with me?" You know, you'll hear something like that. But some cultures, they'll see you and goes, "Oh, you gained a lot of weight." You know, Koreans are like that, by the way. So that's what I hear every time I go home. "Jay, you've gained a lot of weight." "Well, thanks." Or I remember I was in Ethiopia once, and I was there with my friend named Alan. And this guy looks at the two of us and goes, "Alan, skinny. Jay, big." That's in their culture, right? So they don't mean to offend you, right? But in our culture, it's so, you know, we're so afraid to say anything, right? We're so afraid to offend people. I kind of wish we could just say what we're thinking. I think life would be so much easier, right? Anyways. I don't know why I got sidetracked by that. But anyways, she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. She lived a very sad life too. If you read her story here, she lived with her husband for 7 years. And then was a widow until she was 84. When was Mary married? Pledged to be married? We think she was around 13, 14, 15, right? So imagine you get married at age 15. You're married for 7 years. So around age 22, you're a widow until you're 84. Do the math. How long is that? That's a lifetime of being a widow. But it says here, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. You want to know what waiting looks like? Anna is showing you what waiting looks like here. Worship the Lord night and day, fasting and praying. So you want to know what waiting well looks like? You wait and worship. Right? So you wait in confidence. You wait in worship. You wait through obedience. This is how you wait. So she's coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. It's so interesting that Luke points out over and over again the role of women. This is in a society, in a culture, where they dismissed women a lot. But look at the example of Anna here. He could have just ended the story with Simeon. No, but he adds Anna. And I have to tell you, when I reflect through my life, people who modeled faith for me really well, in my case, this is just my case, they're mostly women. Women modeled faith really well for me. So we all have a place here in church. Amen? I'm speaking to the women here. You have a place here. Model faith the way Anna did. There's an Anna in my life. I mentioned her a few times in my sermon. Her name was Brenda. She was a woman of God. And she was diagnosed with cancer one day. The doctors gave her 6 months to live. And instead of using those 6 months to be with her family and going away on vacation, you know what she said? She said, I'm going to use these next 6 months to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So every doctor's appointment she had, every time she went in for radiation treatment or chemo, she shared God's news. She shared the good news of Jesus Christ with those around her until she took her very last breath, which happens to be a year and a half after that diagnosis. She waited well. She waited in confidence. She waited through obedience. And church, you and I are able to do this because Jesus Christ lived that perfect life. So when we look at Christ, through his help, you and I can wait well as well. Amen? Please know this. This is not something that you could will. You could only have confidence in waiting if you know Jesus. You could only obey if you know Jesus who obeyed everything perfectly. Because you and I are going to fail over and over again when it comes to obedience. But there is the one who obeyed perfectly. Jesus Christ. There is the one who worshiped perfectly. So let's look to Christ. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus, whose name means Yahweh saves, Jesus saves? Have you responded to him? Because that's the only way you and I can wait well. Amen? Amen. And then it says here, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord. There it is again. They did everything that was required. There's obedience again. They returned to Galilee, their own town of Nazareth. They went back home. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So there are three applications. Let me just summarize it for you. I've said it through the sermon, but we need to wait in confidence, church. Don't worry about when. Just wait patiently, wait with confidence, because we know how it ends. Amen? We do know how it ends. Jesus saves. Have you been praying for somebody in your life who does not know Jesus yet? Wait with confidence. Keep on praying. Wait with confidence. How can we have confidence in God? We need to know him. Bible reading is one great way to know Jesus. Writing out the Bible is a better way to know Jesus. Amen? Yes. Also, wait through obedience. Don't think you could tough it out. You don't have the willpower. I don't have the willpower. We don't have the willpower to just tough it out. We have to wait through obedience. Obey God's word. Live for him, and he will show himself to you. And lastly, wait in worship. As Anna did. And you don't feel like it. Worship God. Praise him. Go through the Psalms if you're having a hard time praising God. Praise the Lord. Worship him. And that's how we could wait. Wait as individuals, but also wait as a community. Wait as a family. Wait as a couple. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we worship. We wait. I love that. All right.
I am so sorry.
No, that's fine. We're all waiting for you. We're able to wait, as I said earlier, because Jesus Christ, he came here on earth. He lived that perfect life that you and I should have lived, but we couldn't. And he died that death that you and I deserve. So that by trusting in him, we could wait boldly and confidently. So because Christ has come, we wait confidently, we obey faithfully, and we worship joyfully. Amen?
Amen?
Actually, let's say that together as a church. Because Christ has come, we wait confidently, obey faithfully, and worship joyfully. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we look forward and we look to the cross. And we come to God in communion. So today also is Communion Sunday. So we come to the table. The table is open to all believers, all who have faith in Jesus Christ. If that is you, then you are invited to share this meal together with us. Let me pray for the elements. And afterwards, I'll ask the men to come forward and pass the bread first. Let's wait till everyone has received it and we'll partake together. And then after that, we'll do the same with the grape juice in place of wine. So would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your patience, God. We thank you for your faithfulness, even though when we were unfaithful to you, you have shown your love and faithfulness to us. Lord, this morning we come to your table today to partake in communion. I ask that you set apart the elements, the bread, and the juice in place of wine for a holy purpose today. We partake in worship to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.